What would have happened in the media if Roger Goodell suspended a coach 20 hours before kickoff?
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Oh, and doing it on a national holiday, so courts are closed.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Wait for it, suspended before a full investigation was complete, because that's what's happened to Jim Harbaugh.
The Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show, NBC Sports Boston Patriots insider Tom Curran. Coming up, actor and comedian Rob Riggle. Academy Award nominated actor Michael Fassbender. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
What an hour we just had. Rob Riggle in studio and Michael Fassbender on Zoom doing it. We hadn't played Celebrity True or False in a long time because of the actor strike that's now over. Because, you know, we couldn't talk about past filmographies or TV shows because those were being struck by the Actors Guild, of which I'm also a member. And so to be able to, it's been a while since we walked in that park.
Been a while.
And man, did he tell some great stories.
Yes. That was awesome.
And we are appreciative of that. Tom Curran in hour number one, talking about the state of the Patriots and what's going on there. If you missed it, we re-air on the Roku channel, channel 210, as soon as we're over. There is our podcast, all 3 hours, every single day, thanks to the Cumulus Podcast Network. You can listen to it whenever you want. And then there's our video on demand service, part of the Roku channel. The Rich Eisen Show Collection is his very fancy name. Our YouTube page, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show, where you can also see our podcast that we deliver every single Monday and Overreaction Monday. And then later on today, What the Football. Susie Schuster and Amy Trask are here. And we know that because there's an insane amount of food.
Yeah, so much food.
I think Sue's brought half of some bakery that was here.
I got some blueberry, fantastic. Like lemon cake right now.
Marshall Faulk is going to be their in-studio guest today. So as soon as we're done here, they record. And you can catch that later on. We're about to do Overreaction Monday, the segment here, because we couldn't do it yesterday. We're going to do it today. There's our phone calls as well. But I do want to spend some time on the team that won on Monday night. Now, that's what happens a lot in our day and age. There's a handful of teams that if they lose, it doesn't matter who beats them. Because the fact that this team lost is the story.
Yeah.
TJ, the team you root for falls in that category.
Absolutely.
I mean, you could go ahead and beat the Dallas Cowboys and play the best game of your entire season. And if you're not a team that's supposed to beat the Dallas Cowboys, well, then guess what? You're not being talked about.
Hey, that's...
Because it's the Cowboys have lost. The state of the Cowboys. What's going on with the Cowboys?
That's not our fault either.
I get it. But that's, you know, I mean...
We're insanely popular.
That's why when the Chiefs lost on opening night, I started the show, I zagged. Didn't talk about what was going on with the Chiefs and whether this is a problem for the Chiefs. I talked about how damn good the Lions looked. But today came on the air and went all in on the Bills because they are 5-5, splitting their first 10 games in a Super Bowl contending season coming in. And then they fired their offensive coordinator about a half an hour before we came on the air. Ken Dorsey out, Joe Brady in. And guess who helped bring that about? The once upon a time, staring 0-4 right in the face, Denver Broncos, who started 0-3. And boy, there was a hard 0-3. I mean, an awful hard 0-3. That's what happens when, you know, you give up 70 points in falling to 0-3.
So many points.
The Dolphins just scored again is the phrase that you always would say in the media. And the Broncos followed up that boat race destruction at the hands of the Dolphins by falling down 28 points to the Chicago Bears, the equally 0-3 awful-looking Chicago Bears. And, man, did that look dark. But who knew it was the darkness before the dawn? Because look who's 4-5 now. 3 wins in a row. Sean Payton's Denver Broncos. And, man, bless this guy, man. Russ looks totally different. Does he look like the Russ of Seattle? He does not. Troy Aikman even said he doesn't think he moves around like the Russ from Seattle. And that's occasionally, if you want to nitpick right now, which is amazing because there was a lot to pick on last year. Now they went from picking on Russ, or the media did, or everybody in the fan base picked on Russ. Now we're nitpicking, which is a sign of what you needed to do. Let's move it on from picking on Russ to nitpicking Russ, which is sometimes he just appears to just run a little too fast. Doesn't hang in there. If you got a nitpick.
We're nitpicking.
But he is absolutely making Russ-like throws. The touchdown to Cortland Sutton is one of them.
Unreal.
Rainbowing it in.
Unreal pass.
Okay.
Unreal catch.
And it looked like, where is he throwing that? Oh, he's throwing it away. No.
It looks like he was throwing it away.
No. And then Sutton dragged the toe in what was initially not a touchdown, ruled a touchdown. And then the first of two missed extra points, which was Denver's issue. They did everything right except put the ball in the end zone. And you have to credit the Bills' defense on that. But you have to credit the Denver Broncos not quitting on this season, quitting on Russ, quitting on their coach, quitting on themselves. They didn't do it. And that was the question. Did they quit on their coach? Did they quit on Russ? Did they quit on themselves in Miami? They're 4-5. Javonte Williams coming back from his knee injury last year. He looks like, what would you say? Is he Peyton's Kamara here? Not as much out of the backfield.
Not as
much. Catching
out of
as
the
much as Kamara.
Kind of dump offs. But
they ran the ball over 30 times last night.
Yeah. It was a concerted effort to run the ball.
They ran the ball over 30 times last night. And Russ is making, you know, he's not throwing it too deep. But he threw some chunk plays last night on some third downs with Jerry Jeudy. Sutton made some nice third down grabs.
I was just looking this up. He's 23rd in pass yards on the year. Only 1,800 pass yards, 6.9 per attempt. Not a great stat, but he is 4th in quarterback rating. He is being very efficient. Lowest interception total of any full-time starter for the whole year. Only 4, 18 touchdowns. He's getting it done right now.
They didn't quit at the trade deadline. They didn't trade Sertan when the whole free world thinks that maybe he's available. I would love to know what the Broncos were offered because it had to be like multiple, you know, first and second day picks for him. And they said no. They didn't quit on it. They didn't quit on Jeudy either. Although they I don't know what happened at the trade deadline or not.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
But this team also, Vance Joseph, the defensive coordinator, gave up 70. Everyone thought, okay, they'll throw him overboard. Nope. And this defense, they're tight. They're playing some really good football, the Denver Broncos, right now. They are 4-5. Again, Denver wound up almost falling to 0-4. They fall to 1-4 after the Jets beat them. They've beaten Kansas City, Green Bay. They've beaten Green Bay, Kansas City, and Buffalo in back to back weeks.
1-5.
Yeah.
They're 1-5. Yeah.
They've beaten Green Bay, Kansas City, and Buffalo. And look who's next on Sunday Night Football. And you're like, why are they not flexing out of that, right? Look at that game now, brother.
Well, 2 weeks ago, that was, what are we doing?
Broncos to go to 5-5 at home against the Josh Dobbs experience.
I'm here for that.
The team with the longest winning streak, active winning streak in the NFL, pulling into Denver next week. And if Denver wins that one, they're home for Cleveland on the Sunday of Thanksgiving weekend. How fun is Denver at Houston looking like right now? They play 3 in a row on the road, including a Saturday game that I'm going to go out and say, you know, of the 5 games that NFL Network has apparently on the docket, we get 3 of them for that week 15. Broncos at Denver, at Detroit is, I think, one of them. And then Christmas Eve, that one I am definitely calling. There's no flex out of that. It's on NFL Network, New England at Denver. Then you've got the Chargers and then the Raiders. That could be a big one at the end of the season. Congrats to the Broncos playing themselves back into relevance, contention. And you could easily say these 3 last wins, 4 out of their last 5, 100% a sign of a culture change and a page turn in Denver. Kudos to them. Give it up. Got to give it up. They went to Buffalo when the Bills are absolutely looking at this game as a get-right game and a game where they're going to pivot and go to 6-4 and have a shot to win this division. And instead, they hit them in the chops. They got lucky at the end where the Bills are putting a 12th man on the field. Yeah, I get it. But
got lucky. But, you know, home primetime games, you're supposed to win those, and for Denver to go in there and take that one, that was
pretty good. And again, Russ, getting it done, man. Russ getting it done, winning football games. So congratulations to the Denver Broncos on that. Okay. Ready to do it, Christopher?
Born ready.
Unready to do it yesterday.
Let's go.
Because I was on a flight 11 hours from Frankfurt to Germany. And this may be the new way of doing things. We'll find out. I kind of dig it. Overreaction Monday on Tuesday. Hit it.
That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage.
This place sucks.
Overreaction
Mondays.
Monday.
All right, Christopher, what do you have over there?
What's
what do you
up,
got?
Rich? You
what
good?
Do you got?
You
I'm good.
Good? You
yeah,
good?
Yeah.
You rested?
Yeah.
All right, there's a lot of food over there. You should get something to eat.
Very good.
We were just talking about this team. It's taken 9 games, but Sean Payton's bet on Russell Wilson has paid off.
I think so. Let's be straight up, man. They had no choice. They had no choice. Salary cap, contract-wise, they had no choice to make it work. And right now, Russ, last year, we were wondering what's going on with him. He has totally had the wheels falling off his wagon. And this year, you know, the wagon's got wheels. And him versus Josh Dobbs at home next week on Sunday night to go to 500, a 1,000,000%. This is something that we saw that night at the Super Bowl when we were at the Wheels Up party, you know, looking at the two of them having dinner together and wondering, is this really how's this going to work? You know, Sean Payton sitting there with Russ and Ciara, and look at them now. They're 4-5. And absolutely, there's no question in my mind that Russ is a better quarterback this year, without a doubt. So
1-5, we're wondering, are we going to see Stidham soon?
I can't say that this is an overreaction right now. They had no choice but to make it work this year. It's not like they had a choice where, okay, you're out. But it's working. So I'll say that's not an overreaction at the moment. What else you got, Chris?
TJ, this is for you, buddy. And you know what? I saw this kind of going on Sunday as well. We should be talking about Dak Prescott in the MVP race.
He has, over the last month, been superb.
Yeah.
And anybody who's got him in fantasy will understand that.
Oh, that's me.
You do, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I got him in the Trulio best ball.
I know you do.
And he's been terrific. The last month, he has been superb. And the Dallas Cowboys, I guess you could say, since that loss against San Francisco, the Dallas Cowboys against the Chargers and then the Rams and then at the Eagles, where they came so damn close, and he eviscerated the Giants. Eviscerated the Giants. Next up is at Carolina, home for Washington on Thanksgiving, and then that Thursday night against Seattle at home before taking on Philadelphia on the Sunday night in week 14. It's all mapped out. And hey, Irv was talking about it too on game day morning a couple of weeks ago when they were taking on the Eagles that day, saying, even if we lose today, the schedule can break our way, and the next time we see him, we could be in first place. As the Philadelphia Eagles, during this entire process, off the bye, they're at Kansas City, home for Buffalo, home for San Francisco, at Dallas. So,
7th in yards.
MVP?
7th in yards.
MVP?
4th in yards per attempt.
All right, I'll give you that.
12 touchdowns, 2 picks in his last
3rd in passer rating, 3rd in QBR. He's getting it done right now.
All right, I'll give it to you. I'll give it to you. We'll see what happens moving forward. But right now, I mean, this snapshot in time, sure. Why not? Everyone's talking about a rookie and C.J. Stroud being so great, which he is, that he should be an MVP talk. So got to throw Dak in there, too.
Well, the thing is, cool, Chris, not to interrupt, but, you know, Dak's accomplishments, what he does right, are never as accentuated as when he does something bad in the media. So if he has a bad game, that's all we're going to hear about. But now he's playing well, and all I'm hearing is, well, you should have won these games and you lost to the Eagles. So no matter what this guy does, it's just going to be like a goal line is consistently going to move for
him. If you take every quarterback in the NFL, they all get too much blame and not enough credit, or too much credit and not enough blame.
But on the
all
level
of that stuff. But nobody in the NFL wins in spite of him and loses because of him, in the eyes of many, than Dak Prescott.
This is a fact.
I'm holding the flowers.
Nice. Well, I appreciate
it. I just want that recognized.
Well, and again, this is the first of two times in this hour we'll be talking about America's team. There's one in college as well that's coming up. What else, Chris?
Rich, in the AFC, 16 total teams, obviously.
Yeah.
14 teams are still alive in the playoff race.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Titans are not one of them. They regret not trading Derrick Henry at the trade deadline.
I honestly don't know if Derrick Henry's presence there is because he did not restructure his contract. He could have been the one to have held those cards. So I can't sit here and say that they had a chance to do it and then didn't and thus regret it now. So I'll call this an overreaction. You'll never regret having Derrick Henry on your team. Honestly. And you have no idea what they were offered, and you have no idea if they were offered anything because his contract wasn't redone in time. Although it wouldn't have mattered for me. If I could get Derrick Henry, you know, do you think Ken Dorsey's fired right now if you put Derrick Henry on that team?
Probably not.
I don't know.
You know what I mean?
Probably not.
I don't know. How would Ken Dorsey look? I mean, how would Derrick Henry look on the star on the side of his helmet?
Oh, baby. It wouldn't have affected the result against
the Giants, but maybe down a stretch. What else you got over there, Chris?
This might be my hottest one yet, Rich.
Oh boy, what a setup!
Josh Allen, no longer a top 10 quarterback.
That's crazy. I won't go there. I can't go there. He's making too many mistakes. He's making too many mistakes. He does have more interceptions than Mac Jones now.
13.
So
most turnovers in the NFL since 2018.
I gotcha. Favre used to do that too. Peyton Manning, as you know, as a young player, did it a lot. I get it. But honestly, you want to walk down the, I mean, if we took the time to walk down the list of who you would take over him.
Playing better this year.
I'll just push back on that. I'll say that is an overreaction at this point in time.
You want Brock Purdy over Josh Allen?
This year? Right now, I'd put Josh Allen in San Francisco. You ask San Francisco fans for that, and first of all, they would tar and feather you for even saying it. But come on, yeah, I'd take Josh Allen over Brock Purdy.
CJ Stroud.
Well, I mean, again, to win a game right now,
I'm just saying.
Of course, I would take CJ Stroud over that because of how young he is and how, you know, precocious he is and how...
Jared Goff?
I'm just calling this an overreaction and asking you to move on.
You don't want to piss off the mafia.
No.
I get it.
I'm happy to piss anybody off. But, you know, I will just say that's an overreaction. Josh Allen is still a top 10 quarterback in the NFL, and I would take him on the Jets right now. I'll tell you that.
Well, because you have number 32 on your team.
No, he's not 32. He's 31A, sir.
Don't talk about TJ's flight seat like that.
Nice. Wow. That's like this guy's seat, big chair. Yeah, look at big chair Brockman over there.
32A is still kind of near.
What else, Chris?
Hey, guys.
He's 31B.
Hey.
In the middle.
In the middle. Come on. Reports of the 49ers' demise. A tad premature.
Yeah, correct. Okay. Yeah.
It helps when you play a pretender this week, but
excuse me.
All right.
I don't know why you keep on carping on the Jaguars like that. I don't get it. You did it on the Overreaction Monday podcast too. Ooh. Listen, sir, Trent Williams, Deebo Samuel.
It helps when those guys are healthy.
Brandon Ayuk, George Kittle, Christian McCaffrey, Kyle Juszczyk, Brock Purdy. Now you got Chase Young meeting at the quarterback with Nick Bosa like it's the big house in 2019. You know what I mean? Or 2018 or whatever the hell it was. So, come on. You know? Get out of here. Warner and all those. They are an insanely talented bunch that went through a rough stretch and patch. San Francisco. What else we got right here? Hold on a minute. Home for Tampa. Good luck.
Yeah.
That's going to be a fun trip. Thanksgiving triple header nightcap. At Seattle. At Philadelphia. Home for Seattle. Let's go. How about Christmas Day home for Baltimore, too? That's going to be fun. There's going to be some fun 49er games moving forward. What else you got over there, Chris?
Rich, this is near and dear to your heart. The Jets sticking with Zach Wilson. It's got to be the most head-scratching decision of the entire 2023 season.
It is not. Let me explain what the hell's happening here. It's all about when 8 is coming back. Okay? That's it.
So 2024? But I mean, no, they had a whole year this year to figure it out.
The whole idea was to have Zach sit behind 8, 2 behind 8, learning from eight. They will never do to their offensive coordinator what the Bills just did to theirs, because the guy who's sitting on McAfee's show today and is sitting at home until he is going to the Jets games doesn't want a code red pulled on his offensive coordinator.
That has nothing to do with actual quarterback to play the position.
But Carson Wentz, I wanted no piece of him at all. Zero piece of Carson Wentz.
Wait till he has to play for the Rams and looks awesome.
Great.
But that could have been yours. Josh Dobbs could have been yours.
But
Jimmy Garoppolo.
Dobbs, I would have wished they could have gone for. That's one. Okay. That's one. So,
game after game.
I know, but it's not. Dude.
You have a playoff team.
Is it Zach Wilson's fault that there were drop passes? Is it Zach Wilson's fault that there were penalties?
He's not helping.
He is not. He made that awful read that Spillane just walked in front and ended the game. Correct. He is one of these very tough to watch guys. But the fact that they're not putting in the end zone, I don't think is all on him. And I don't want any piece of Carson Wentz. Dobbs is another one. That one is something that I don't get. I don't understand. So there are circumstances that are extenuating. And I think that everything has to do with making sure Rodgers understands they're ready for him when he's ready. And on top of it, they feel that Zach Wilson just needs to sit and learn from this guy. And that was the plan the entire time. And they're going to stick with it, that this kid, unless he completely screws it up. But he hasn't really done what Mac Jones did the other day. And I don't do that to push back. Nothing like that.
No, I mean, they're like you said, they're 31 A and B in the rankings.
I don't think Zach's that bad, honestly. It's tough to watch, though. And the fact that Jets fans are like, put in Tim Boyle, put in Simeon. Okay. All right. Really? When do you want to do that? In Buffalo? Is that what you want to do? Against the Dolphins on Black Friday? Okay. I don't know. Maybe they'll have no choice but to.
If not when.
You got one more?
Yeah, last one. So we got 10 teams currently in the playoff hunt at 500 or worse, still alive. I think three of those are going to make the playoffs.
Okay. That's not a bad idea. You could take a look at 500 or worse.
500 or worse. I'm talking about in the NFC. It's Saints, Bucks, yeah. Commanders, well, yeah, Falcons, yeah. AFC.
But one of them is going to win the division, so that's
right.
One.
AFC, you're looking at Colts, Bills, Raiders, Chargers, yeah. Jets, Broncos.
Oh, yeah.
Give me three of those.
That's not a bad idea. I'm not going to say that that's an overreaction. That's not a bad one.
Wild. The stretch run is going to be
well
wild.
Well done. So we did Overreaction Monday, the podcast, yesterday, as we do every single Monday. Please go and find it wherever you get your podcasts, or check it out on our YouTube page right now. You may do that. It's brought to you by our friends at Game Time. And the same thing as well for What the Football. As soon as we are done today, Susie and Amy will be out here interviewing Marshall Faulk in studio, brought to you by our friends at Game Time. And this is what you should do right now, not just follow those podcasts, but also while you're at it, why don't you download the Game Time app like all of us have done here on the Rich Eisen Show. Every single one of us has a Game Time account. We've all used it to search for tickets in our area and out of state as well for sports, music, comedy, and theater events all over the place. Brockman's gone to a hockey game. You, TJ, went to a basketball game, although didn't use the promo code.
Forgot the code,
man. Well, I mean, you could still use it. Oh. Well, no, it's not. It's your first purchase. Oh, too bad.
I'll create a new account.
It's okay. No. That's all right, TJ. you snooze, you lose. And then on top of it, even if you snooze to the last minute, there's last minute tickets, flash deals, zone deals. Check it out to figure out every possible deal you can get, because Game Time takes the guesswork out of buying tickets and makes it easy. Download the Game Time app, create that account, use the code RICH, R-I-C-H, for $20 off your first purchase. Restrictions apply. Visit GameTime.co for terms. Again, create an account and redeem code R-I-C-H for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. When we come back, college football. Does Dion want Jimbo Fisher's gig? What about Dabo? That's coming up. Rich Eisen here. If you love football as much as we do here and want to be in the game every day, there's something the guys on my show have been enjoying. Prize Picks Daily Fantasy Sports. The number one daily fantasy sports app. Brockman, tell everybody about Prize Picks and your strategy this season.
Rich, it's fun and easy. Pick two players or more based on their stats and place your entry. It takes less than 60 seconds and just a few taps. You make your picks and boom, you're part of the action. With basketball season here, you can now pick combo projections across football and basketball from the Specials League, a league created specifically for combo projections that includes two or more players from different sports and leagues. Prize Picks even has a reboot policy where your entries stay in play if one of your players gets injured. For basketball and football games, if you have a player who exits the game in the first half and does not return in the second, that player is rebooted. Prize Picks is the only daily fantasy sports platform with insurance for injury. I love Prize Picks because it adds to my game time experience. Look, looking ahead this week, NFL, Jahmyr Gibbs, total yards, Tony Pollard, rush yards. Boom, that's a winner.
If you're eager to test your knowledge and skills, play the game enjoyed by millions and join the Prize Picks community. Visit prizepicks.com/pigskin and use code pigskin for a first deposit match of up to $100. That's code pigskin at prizepicks.com/pigskin for a first deposit match of up to $100. Prize Picks, daily fantasy made easy. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details. All right, folks, let's talk about game time, and let's talk about buying tickets to big-time events because it can be worrisome, it can be time-consuming, and it can be expensive. So game time is the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all the sports, music, comedy, and theater events near you. You can see the view from your seat before you buy so you know exactly what to expect when you arrive. They have all-in prices that show you your total up front so you know you're getting a great deal without hidden fees. And how easy is it to use? You can buy tickets on game time in seconds with two taps, and there's a game time guarantee, which means you'll always get the best price. If you find tickets in the same section and row for less, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. It is so awesome. I use it. You should as well. For sports, music, comedy, did I mention theater events? All near you. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, it's so easy, and use code EISEN for $20 off your first purchase. Restrictions apply. Visit GameTime.co for terms. Again, create an account and redeem the code EISEN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed. Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger is the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Texas A&M football program will have a new coach as Texas A&M bounced Jimbo Fisher and owes him so much money on his contract that even Bobby Bonilla is going, wow, that's a lot. And so apparently he's going to get like a $7 million a year check for the next seven, 8 years.
7 years. Wow. He gets $19 million up front. That's the initial buyout. Man. And it's where the money's coming from is interesting too. So the $19 million comes from the donor fund.
Of course it does.
And then $7 million a year for the next 7 years is literally slashed from the athletic budget.
Which is crazy. That's nuts.
And there's no offset. So if he takes another job,
that's crazy.
He still gets paid from Texas A&M on top of the new job.
That's a lot of Christmas trees in front of the house.
Why would you ever work again after that?
Because you love coaching.
These guys are junkies.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. You love coaching, but like
so with deals like that, when you get deals like that and you get to coach in the SEC like that, so then that would make it an attractive job.
Yes.
And if, Stephen A. went all in about Deion, like immediately, like Deion should go there. And Deion was asked about the gig.
Oh, he was.
Let's hear what Deion has to say.
I want to win. I want to win a game. So you think I really do sit down and think about that kind of stuff? Like what strikes me about that, about myself, that you guys really think I sit down and say, yeah, Stevie, yeah. Hey, come on, I'm good. Like we got to win. Let's focus on this week. And we play Friday, so we lose the day. Of practice, so we got to focus.
So, Deion, I haven't spoken to him, and I don't ever want to speak for him. You know, Colorado was there for him. And I think, I don't know. I wouldn't know if he'd want to sit here and think about it when he's all done with the season and if they come in his direction. Him and the SEC would be insane. Back in the state of Texas, where obviously he lived for many years.
With Oklahoma and Texas joining the SEC next year.
Oh, my word. I know. I don't know. That would just be insane to see. But just knowing him, he kind of digs it up there in Colorado.
Seems like
likes
it.
Fishing. Yeah, likes, seems like you know, it. I guess you could fish and wear cowboy hats in Texas, too. I don't know. College Station.
Just everything we talked about the first month of the year, too. Because, you know, that hype was, would Deion go to the NFL? Would
right.
he, you know, take after somewhere in the SEC? It just doesn't seem like that's interest to him.
How about Dabo Swinney? He was asked the same question today. Here's his answer.
Man, I'm just focused on this job. Always have been, and just trying to find a way to beat North Carolina. That's it. Must be November. That's all I can say.
That's what I'm saying. Everyone's just focused on the task at hand.
It must be November.
Must be November.
$76 million and not work.
I mean, what are we doing?
Honestly, that is a sweetheart of a deal.
Wow.
And I mean, man. Your agent could go in and basically say, "We'll take that." Like Rick Dalton just, there.
Yep.
That's the contract. The one that you had. And their answer could be, "Well, you know, we don't have it. I mean, we're like our budget. and my response is the agent would be, "Well, there's got to be a banana stand somewhere.
Find it."
And I don't know if they get the Arrested Development reference, but there's an Aggies banana stand, and go find it.
Go get it.
Yeah, find it.
I mean, oof.
One guy that's not being asked about the Texas A&M job is my coach.
No.
Jim Harbaugh. And so, I'm not a legal expert, although I do have an unsigned sports law degree from Tulane. Gabe Feldman forgot to sign it when he bestowed it upon me. Thanks, Gabe.
Man, you were that close, Rich.
So close.
But I do have a sports law degree, and I'm just kind of, you know, I've been around a block with temporary restraining orders, you know, and you're being suspended, and you're,
okay,
you know,
where
you're
going
well, no, we're being around the block covering that sort of stuff.
Of course.
Rich, I knew what you meant.
Where, you know, somebody gets suspended after an investigation is complete, and you're like, "Well, I don't agree with it, so I need a temporary restraining order." Ezekiel Elliott is one. Tom Brady, right? Another. These happen. So, you know, I've been around the block with the covering in the NFL. So when Michigan asks for a temporary restraining order, and the answer's like, "I won't do it next week," it's just like, "Well, wait a minute. There's something called irreparable harm, and we're trying to avoid it by not having our coach sidelined by the Big Ten, despite an investigation that's incomplete. We're not going to wait for the results of the investigation. We're just going to act now." Why? Well, because of what we've had already seems so damning. And plus, you know, a bunch of coaches and athletic directors are getting on these conference calls and yeah. They are bitching and moaning at me, and I'm a commissioner of the Big Ten, and I got to do something. And the temporary restraining order from the judge, by the way, everybody thought fix is in. The judge, I don't know which one. It's kind of crazy. The reporting on this is so all over the map. I don't know which judge actually delivered the order here, but it's coming up on Friday, and there's a hearing on Friday. And I'm assuming that we'll get a decision before Saturday's Michigan game at Maryland, unless that means we're going to have a second week of Jim Harbaugh getting on a plane somewhere and finding out in flight either he's going to be able to coach or not. Or maybe we'll have to wait till 90 minutes before we'll find out you're not coaching again. It's crazy. Again, there's no complete investigation. And for everyone on ESPN yammering, I mean, I don't know what happened with Finebaum. One minute he says this is a witch hunt. Next minute he's like, Jim Harbaugh is a cheater. Okay.
Clearly, he's heard some different evidence.
Maybe, I don't know. Yeah. If he has, then present it, because
yeah, we want
to
see it.
I'd like to see it all, presented before. I've never heard of a suspension before a complete investigation, ever.
Be like putting someone in jail before they go to trial.
So Michigan goes to to Penn State and comes up with a win. And I know you started the show. You loved Sharon Moore crying and dropping. I mean, he worked Go Blue.
It was the most absurd thing I've ever seen.
So he got, all right.
Jim Harbaugh didn't die.
I know. I think Mark Freeman tweeted that one out too. I get it. But, I would imagine, when you find out 90 minutes before you're coaching in front of 107,000 and an undefeated season is placed on your shoulders, might be a little pressure.
Helps when you're playing a high school offense.
Might be a little, might be a little bit of pressure on you. And you're relieved, and your microphone's put in front of your face, and your emotions run wild. But okay, you have your way of looking at it. Obviously, I do have another way of looking at it. Jim Harbaugh had this to say about his team overcoming adversity in front of the whole watching nation of America.
The perseverance, and then the stalwartness of these guys. I mean, yeah, Watson, I would have to say. I mean, everybody. It's got to be America's team. It's got to be America's team. America loves a team that beats the odds, beats the adversity, overcomes what the naysayers and, critics, so-called experts think. That's my favorite kind of team. And, watching it from that view on the television, it was finally people get to see what I see every day.
Is he doing a bit?
No. He never does bits. He truly believes it. Let me just explain something. Let me just say this. I couldn't have been prouder watching the way that Michigan, the players played on Saturday. It was awesome. In terms of being a fan for as long as I've been, just seeing the way that they handled their business and conducted themselves was incredibly pride. I was bursting with pride. And this photograph that went out of Blake Corum.
That's, oh my God. That is insane. Okay,
if NFTs are still a thing, should be an NFT.
And I love this kid. He called into this show to announce he was coming back with his knee injury. And he's so great with his NIL money locally and donating it. And J.J. McCarthy as well. I mean, I'm so proud of them. Immensely prideful. Especially, when Manny Diaz was having his fun with, here's the signs, time to hear you on third down, all that. It was great. But I can safely say that sitting in a chair like this one and having a platform as fortunate as I have here and also on social media, we in the University of Michigan and our fan base are the only ones who feel this way about this team. The rest of America, in many ways, does not. Because, straight up, the adversity that's here, again, this guy is suspended before there is a full and complete investigation. Nutty. Nuts. And I said that on the video when I shot it on the field on Saturday at the Patriots walkthrough in Germany. Anybody out there, you're having fun about Harbaugh and you're having fun about Michigan and you're Manny Diaz pointing at your wrist and doing all this stuff and saying that everything's got an asterisk like many people on ESPN are saying and all that stuff. You're saying right now, fine, your school could be the next one where everybody else starts complaining at the commissioner to the commissioner and says X, Y, and Z, and then suddenly your school has to deal with a suspension before a full and complete investigation. But this door has been opened because this guy, Connor Stallions, was allowed to wear the Block M on his shirt and be on the sideline and do what he did. And there has to be some accounting for that and some consequence for that, period, end of story. Is this the proper consequence for it? I don't know, because there's no investigation that's complete yet. So all of this stuff is out there and this adversity has been allowed to happen because this guy was doing whatever the hell he was doing. But we don't know who directed him to do it. We don't know if he felt compelled to do it, pressured to do it, or he just did it because he thought, this is a way that I get to follow my dream of being a coach of Michigan one day, is to prove my worth in this various aspect. That, by the way, a lot of other teams have signed Steelers on their roster as well. Not excusing what this guy did, because what he did, apparently, is 100% not copacetic. So the scorn and everything else and the predicament that Michigan is in right now is self-created. So to call Michigan America's team is it's quite a dot connecting. But I love it. It's Michigan versus everybody right now. And if that works for these kids, and go for it. Bet, as the kids would say.
Bet.
Okay, go for it.
I did love that tweet.
Go for it. Go for it. But I totally understand why there's a lot of eye rolling and a lot of like, get out of here with that.
Yeah.
I hear it. And I understand. I understand it completely.
Totally. Totally. It's, I mean, look, it, depending on how bad it goes and how far the reach was and who knew what and when, I mean, it's.
Let's find out before you suspend somebody.
Understood.
But yeah.
You know, you're up there with Astros, Patriots, all the legendary cheating schools. And so it's just like, all right, here you go.
And we'll find out if that's warranted or not.
Yeah.
You know what I want to see? Here's what I want to see. And I'm sure it exists. And the fact that it hasn't leaked out yet and it hasn't shown up on an ESPN show yet is stunning. The actual footage. I want to see it.
Well, you may.
I want to see it. I want to see it. Because don't you think the NCAA would have it? And it would be part of whatever investigation is complete. Like, I want to see it.
They have to have
it. I want to see it.
They have to have it.
But I want to see all of it. Because you know.
What does it matter?
Because. Yeah. What does it matter? All because I just want to see.
He did it once. He cheated.
I want to see it.
But it's the act of doing it.
Yeah, once.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
But I still want to see it.
Yeah.
I still want to see it. Because like I told you, I'll say it again. The number of times you go on vacation, you say, would you mind taking a video of my family? And it's just like. You get the phone back. It's the ceiling. It's the sky. Yeah. You see half of your child's head.
Hand someone your BlackBerry. You know what I mean?
Like, hand somebody. Dude, you. Hey, would you mind taking pictures of me and Madonna?
You know, I could never have been Connor Stallions because it would have been a bad picture.
Yeah, Mike, you wouldn't have been hired by Connor Stallions.
In all honesty, though, like, he would have had to have gone down to, like, choice D to try and sit, like, there was I forget who it was. Somebody tweeted out, like, this is the view that Connor Stallions had of Penn State sideline. I'm sitting in the seat. I'm like, great reporting. Great. So you do have a great sight line.
Yeah.
What was gleaned and who knew about it and what was done with it? That's what I want to know. And that's what everyone else is assuming was done pristinely. Every step that was taken was not only done pristinely, but done 100% with effect. Well, we're assuming that's what it is.
How sloppy this guy's been.
That's what, which means, exactly. So everything else was, honestly, I think
probably
to myself, is it like Badger slinging stuff and Breaking Bad?
I don't know. The guy was wearing like Bobby Valentine on the CMU sideline.
But let's suspend him before the investigation's complete. Let's do that. And that's the adversity he's saying that they're overcoming. But I understand that people are like, well, the adversity is kind of in your own making. But that said, America's team, baby, at Maryland. Let's take a break. Finish up this show in a moment right here in the Rich Eisen Show. Yeah.
The football season is underway, and Believe podcasts are talking about it.
When he went home and went to sleep, Michael Parsons was just terrorizing him.
Believe has podcasts covering all 32 professional teams and many of your favorite college teams, too.
And to be only producing 15 points a game, that's something that is definitely disheartening.
Sideline to sideline, end zone to end zone.
As a quarterback, I would expect him to be acting like that. Take the accountability. Put that on yourself. Don't put it on your teammates.
Search BLEAV podcasts wherever you listen.
Half redneck, half posh. 100% fun. Trey Crowder and Corey Ryan Forrester try and learn fancy culture in putting on airs.
The host of the Medium Popcorn Podcast, Brandon Collins and Justin Brown.
Okay, so Paddington 2 had like 100% of Rotten Tomatoes for years.
You guys ruined that?
Justin came in and like took it down like 2 points because of his rating. That's the time we started getting death threats.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
I didn't know.
People worship that movie.
Putting on airs. The podcast is on YouTube and wherever you listen.
Let's go to the phone lines. Jeff in Detroit. What's up, Jeffrey? How you been?
Listen here. I'm going to tell you something. I got to start off with this. Your video and the segment that you just let loose gave every Michigan fan, that should be an automated response to when somebody asks about Michigan. Your response and your the sentiment that you display, man, is just... Oh, my goodness. As a Michigan fan, all it needs to be said is exactly what you're talking about.
I appreciate
because
it.
Because it's ridiculous how you just go and you just suspend them off of his, you know, you don't know anything for sure.
You don't know anything for sure.
You don't know anything.
Well, the one thing we know for sure is this guy was buying tickets in places. And you know, and my favorite pushback, I gave this to Murph the other day pushing back about
Murph.
It. I said, my favorite part about it is the one place he didn't buy tickets was Wisconsin. We don't need you. I mean, what's more offensive? He bought tickets to Iowa, but left Wisconsin alone. Come on now. Fantastic.
Hey, Jeff, look, that's all great, but like the big news of the day is I got a strain named after me. That's the most important.
You might have missed that. Careful. He's in law enforcement. Be careful.
Oh, he was.
Okay.
You know? DJ Avenue, baby. That's what's happening. You guys are great. Listen. I got a football question for you.
Yes, sir.
If I'm talking to Rich Eisen, if Rich Eisen from today called Rich Eisen back at the beginning of the 2022 season,
okay,
and told him the Detroit Lions could host a playoff game, Bill Belichick could get fired in the next game or two, or the Raiders are on another head coaching hunt because their coach got fired, which one would you not believe?
I would not believe Belichick could get fired. That's the one I would be. That's the one. Good one though. As always, Jeff, you pause the show and cause me to think about something. Thanks for the call. That's why we love Jeff in Detroit, also his longtime fandom of ours. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Well, how would you answer that? Lions hosting a playoff game. Raiders are on a new coaching search because McDaniels wasn't working out, or Belichick would be on the hot seat and definitely 100% the end of his tenure is apparent.
It's obviously Bill. I mean, coming into this season, you thought they'd be a 500 team, maybe not a playoff team. But
he's talking about the beginning of 2022, though.
That's
beginning of last season. That's what I'm saying.
Even still.
Hey, come on, Bill, regardless.
Come on.
Definitely think Mac.
Especially coming off of Mac Jones's year the year before.
I know, right?
He had 3,800 yards.
He was doing the gritty in Vegas.
22 touchdowns. Like,
yeah, I thought Mac was going to be.
Although I did think McDaniels was going to work with the Raiders.
But I would have believed that it wasn't.
I would have.
Beginning of 2022.
Yeah.
Campbell, you know, beginning his policy of fava beans and a nice football Chianti.
They had good players.
And I would have believed that, okay, Dan Campbell's getting it done.
A former Lion came in.
I would have believed, McDaniels is going to have a tough time of it again. Or Belichick would be 2-8.
Yeah, that's the hard
one. Get out of here. And Mac Jones would be benched. Tom Curran started this program saying his belief is that Mac Jones will be the third inactive quarterback when they come back from the bye.
I was going to do that as an overreaction, that they should just start Will Greer the rest of the way.
He said that's going to happen.
Yeah, exactly. That is more and more likely, it seems, is happening.
Yeah. What a show.
Wow.
Bruce Feldman on tomorrow. We'll talk about America's team with him.
Welcome back, man.
Oh, it's been fun.
America.
I mean, I imagine you didn't bring me a beer stein, but other than that,
that is correct.
Whoa.
Not even a pretzel. But there's a gluten-free one over there.
Yeah, I got a gluten-free one for you.
Don't eat it. I had one.
What's worse?
They're not gross. You like it.
It's not much worse than Rich is going to bring back a soft pretzel from Germany.
Yeah.
Nope. You get one of Del Tufo's gluten-free ones.
Oh, you guys.
That's like called a bait and a switch.
I found the picture.
Pretzels are making me thirsty.
For decades, Rolling Stone has set the bar for entertainment publications. Today, Rolling Stone Music Now takes over in podcast form.
We have Michael Azarad, who was Nirvana's very first biographer. I'm not sure how many people realize how many of the best songs on In Utero were written way beforehand.
To be fair to Kurt, he was also a new father. There was a lot of stuff distracting him. It wasn't just drugs, although that was certainly a major factor.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.